after All-Star weekend. And Eric, I was talking about this earlier today, and you can comment if you'd like or just say I plead the fifth. But I was talking about the continued efforts to promote Zion Williamson for the Rookie of the Year. And just as I was saying it, the mothership was flashing a nice promo of Zion Williamson. It's just like this orchestrated effort to forget about everything Ja Morant has done to this point.
Well, I mean, I don't want to plead the fifth, but they also realize Zion is such a intriguing figure to the league because of his size, because of the combination of athleticism and power, and he was the number one pick. I mean, let's be honest. People marvel at guys that can play that high above the rim because most of us can't do it. The NBA took a whole new level of popularity because everybody can pretend in their driveway to be Steph Curry and shoot three-point shots. There's not a lot of people out there in the world. In fact, I'd venture to say there's about zero that can pretend and literally look like Zion Williamson or LeBron James. You can if you lower the rim to 7 feet. Yeah, you feel like a big shot at that point.
Absolutely.
But, I get it. I think part of it is the intrigue of him not having played and the way he started. He's been on a tear. He's been fantastic. But yeah, the guy that wears 12 for us has been pretty special too. So I think if they continue with this playoff push and the Grizzlies have a really difficult schedule ahead, there's no two ways about that. If they come through that, and I think if they come out of these next six games with at least two, if not three wins, the gap stays where it's at. The reason it's so intriguing is the Pelicans have one of the easiest schedules in the league after the break. I think they only play 9 games against teams above 500. So, and I think 2 of them are against the Grizzlies. So that's where it's at. But if the Grizzlies continue to play the type of basketball they've been playing, I don't think we're going to have a whole lot of overlooking happening. I think everybody believes it's not enough time for Zion to win the Rookie of the Year. If people want to vote differently, so be it. I think it's more important to Ja to honestly win, to make the playoffs, than to win Rookie of the Year. Now, obviously, Rookie of the Year is important. I don't want to disrespect the award because it wouldn't matter to him. But I think if you gave him the option and said, would you take the playoffs and not win Rookie of the Year, or would you take the Rookie of the Year and not make the playoffs, I think you'd choose take the playoffs and not win Rookie of the Year.
I will say this, and this may be a rarity because I can't recall any other time, whether you're looking at standings in Major League Baseball, whatever, the fact that in the Western Conference, the Memphis Grizzlies, in their last 10 games, winning 8 of their last 10, they have made up ground looking at the 7 teams ahead of them, all the teams behind them. Every team in the Western Conference, they have made up ground, or in the cases of teams behind them, distance themselves even more. I don't think I can recall ever looking at standings and seeing that, unless the team has, you know, went 10-0 in the last 10.
Yeah, they played well. I mean, they're 22-10 in their last 32 games. They since Ja came back from an injury, they pulled some victories where it looked like they were going to get beaten, games where maybe earlier in the season they didn't come out on top. But you know, that win in Washington was huge on that Sunday where Ja Morant got his first triple-double and went bananas in the fourth quarter, as he's tended to do. So it's been a hell of a run. It's going to get tougher. There's just no two ways about it. Your next six games are 4 on the road to start, 2 at home in back-to-back fashion. You're back-to-back tonight, Lakers-Kings tomorrow, or Kings-Lakers, Kings tonight, Lakers tomorrow. Then the following Friday and Saturday of next week, it's Kings-Lakers on your home floor, so that's 2 against the best team in the West, mixing a date with the Clippers and the Rockets. And this Kings team is not to be just overlooked. I mean, they're right behind you in the standings. They want it. They know that's the importance of this game. So these are not going to be 2 walkovers either. So overall, it's one of those situations where if they come out of this and they do make the playoffs, there is no two ways about it. They have absolutely earned it.
Hey, Eric, Steve Wrigley here. Is this a home game for you? I think I might have remembered talking to you earlier this year. Like, this is like you calling a game back in a place that you grew up. That's got to be a thrill.
Yeah, except it's a new arena. But overall, it's it's coming home. And it's to the point where I'm getting dropped off by the good man from Enterprise Rent-A-Car here back at the hotel because I spent the whole day running around with my daughter and you know, spending some time with her, and then and being able to see some friends, play some golf yesterday, and you know, basically it makes work more fun when you can share it with the people you care about. And you know, being home is always nice, but I tell you what, I'm longing for a trip where I don't know anybody and I can just hide out in my room. How about that?
Well, and the last time, I think the last time that they played the Kings was January 2nd. They blew a 20-point lead, but the teams have gone in completely different directions, even though they're still fighting for a spot. The Grizz, from what I saw, have gone 15-4, while the Kings have been like not you know, they've kind of gone the other direction. So what changed? Am I reading this right? Was that a moment to lose that big lead and then to turn things around? Was that maybe the turning point in the season or one of them?
Oh, yeah, there's no doubt. They left that game and came out, and we all kind of looked at each other and said, uh-oh. Because that was a tough trip after for the New Year's holiday. And so after that game came about, they, you know, went right back to work. They went down to L.A. They beat the Clippers handily. And then on top of that, you know, wrapped up their trip with another win and then came home and had a long homestand. And that was the start of that 7-game win streak. So it was a 9-game stretch, and we all talked about it amongst ourselves. We said, okay, well, you got to win at home before the All-Star break against Charlotte. Then you got to go on the road. You have a long road trip to open. You had a 9-game stretch. You come home and you played 6 at home, your longest homestand. They went 7-2. The two losses in those 9 games were the first game against Sacramento and the last game of the homestand against New Orleans. And that put them in the position to, you know, to get this done. And so now you've created an opportunity for yourself by creating space between your spot and the 9th spot, the 10th spot, and the 11th spot. But you've also put yourself in a position to try to chase down 7 possibly. So, again, it's not going to be easy, guys, as we said. It's one of the toughest schedules in the NBA going down the stretch. But this team has really turned the corner maturity-wise that I just didn't expect to see out of a group this young.
Well, I hope you grab a couple of W's out there on the West and have a nice quiet night of some room service soon.
Well, we got 2 bottles of red wine. We're going to L.A. I think we'll just kind of kick back and do some prep work over a nice glass of California Red. How about that?
Oh, good for you.
Hey, Eric, Grayson Allen not going to play tonight with a hip injury. How close is he, and how much can he help this team in the stretch run?
Well, I think, in all honesty, I think it's been announced he's done for the year.
He is now done.
Yeah, it's a hip injury, and they're going to err on the side of caution. It's a big loss for this team. That's one real piece that could take your rotation from a legit 10 to 11 with 2 spots being filled by guys that even now after the moves can still play. I mean, you got Marco Guterich, who gave you significant minutes early on, and Jordan Bell filling those 12 and 13 spots per se. And there's still an open roster spot. So Grayson's out of that. So he was a piece. There's no doubt about that. And, you know, after the moves they've made, getting Gorgui Dieng to go with that second unit, moving Kyle Anderson into the starting rotation, losing Grayson's scoring pop in that second unit and his athleticism in the transition game, it hurts a little bit. There's no doubt.
We look at what you mentioned, the games with Sacramento. You know, as far as being around the players after the All-Star break, you know, where's the attitude? You know, because obviously a big concern when everything was clicking so well, 15 out of 19 wins, 8-2 in the last 10. Your biggest concern is all of a sudden you go cold. What do you feel like as far as in your interaction so far, as far as the mindset with these players right now going into this game tonight?
Bart. Yeah, as far as practice went today, guys, they were laser locked. They know how important this game is. They know they can't come out and come out with a lackluster effort to start. And so I think they're ready to go. I think they're chomping at the bit to get back to it. I think their legs were a little bit tired towards the end of the schedule prior to the break. Their 3-point shooting was falling off a little bit because of that. But overall, they clearly have turned this into a situation where they know they have essentially 2 full months from today, 8 weeks of going at it with everything you got. And if you go at it with everything you got in those 8 weeks and somehow fall short, but you didn't leave anything to question, there's no harm in that either. No one expected you to be here except for themselves. And so they would be upset because they believe they're a playoff team. And they attacked it today and shoot around like that. So we'll see how it comes out, because you're going to face a Kings team that's going to play with some desperation to them, without a doubt.
I mean, obviously, they're thinking about the Kings as far as tonight. You have the luxury that you can also look ahead to tomorrow and even next week with the Lakers as well. You know, how important, as far as from a mindset standpoint, not necessarily getting wins, but at least playing well and feel like in your inside, hey, we can play with these guys when the Grizzlies take right on the Lakers this week and next week?
I think it's big. I think they've shown they can play with them, though. They lost a game in Los Angeles earlier where, you know, Anthony Davis goes to the line 27 times. Then they had them down.
That's more than most teams do.
That's tough to overcome. Yeah, well, if you sneezed at them, apparently it's a foul.
Five versus eight, you know, hey.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, it wasn't me guarding Anthony Davis, so it was kind of funny that every time we turned around, he was getting to the free throw line. But, you know, that's the way he was. And he was being aggressive. I can't take anything away from AD for that. But that was tough. But when the Lakers came to Memphis for their first visit there, the Grizzlies played them really tough and had them down. And, you know, this guy LeBron James is apparently pretty good. So he flipped a switch and did LeBron James type things. And they lost in the end. And I know at the end of that game, there was a lot of frustration in the Grizzlies locker room of, hey, we have to figure out a way against good teams to close out games. So I think they feel like they can play with them. I think they feel like they can give them a fight. They obviously respect the talent level, the roster, and the accomplishments of what that team has, but they believe wholeheartedly in themselves as a team that can compete with anybody any given night in the NBA.
Well, Eric, two plus, if they do make the playoffs as the eight, that would be the 1-versus-8 matchup, which would be kind of interesting. Yeah. I want to go back to Grayson Allen. I covered him in high school in Jacksonville and then followed, you know, everybody kind of followed him at Duke, and he kind of got that villain. He went through those moments where he was struggling on the court with the tripping and some other things. How have you seen him grow as a man and a player in the years since those? Because that had to be tough to go through. I mean, I don't know the extent to what he was going through and why that was happening, but I would just think that could have been something that could have stayed with him.
Yeah, he and I talked about that, actually. And he said, hey, I get on the court and there's just a switch. I know I've got to find a way to reel it in. He's got a bad moniker. You know, when we were in summer league, he got called for a flagrant foul that should never have been a flagrant foul. He got called for it because he's Grayson Allen. And, you know, he has those moments where that competitive juice in him takes over. And he chuckled about it with me, but it bothers him, you know. It bothers him that moniker follows him. He understands he created it, so he's not blaming anybody, but he wants to get away from that stigma. And everywhere we go, there's somebody says something.
Yeah.
And it's a shame in one aspect, because the kid's talented, for one. He's actually a really quiet kid away from the court, as polite, as nice as could be. He just got on the court and did something stupid multiple times, and he's trying to revamp his image. He's not a guy that does that. But players never forget that. And that's the one thing players will constantly remind you of. If you do something that's deemed dirty or outside the lines, that's a hard moniker to shake. And so he's doing everything he can. I'm happy as hell to have him. I'll tell you that much. I'm happy as hell his option's been picked up. Mm-hmm. That next year when he comes back healthy and they expect a full recovery, that he's going to be part of our organization. I like the kid personally. I have enjoyed getting to know him as briefly, albeit as it is. He's a relatively quiet guy away from the court, but when you just talk politely with him, he's a good guy. We shared a laugh today at practice about there was a janitor pushing a cart that was about as loud and squeaky as you could get, and Grayson looked around and said, "What is that noise?" And I said, "I think it's a janitor's push cart." And he looked at me and I said, "Yeah, it might be time to bust out the WD-40 guy." And he just started laughing, and we chuckled about some things. And it's killing him that he can't play with this group. He's tight with Tyus Jones. Now Justice Winslow's here, so... I told somebody today in an interview talking about this team, this is as close-knit a team and group as I've ever seen in my nearly 20 years of being in the NBA. They genuinely really enjoy being around one another, playing on the court together, doing things off the court. They all can go their separate ways, but like they get along, and that's not always the case. There are no alpha male egos here that are trying to take over, even though, you know, the youngest guy on the team or one of the youngest guys has been deemed a budding superstar. Another one is a potential all-star. Those are the two youngest guys there. They're all in it together. They know they can't accomplish what they want to accomplish individually. It has to be as a team, and that's when they're at their best, when the basketball moves, when they're unselfish, when they share the ball. They are awfully, awfully tough to beat. And, you know, it's a fun brand of basketball to watch, and they are a team that are going to really turn some heads, not only this year but into the future as well. And, you know, the belief that they have in themselves is what's most impressive, because it's not an arrogance. It's a confidence, and there is a very fine line there. And I have yet to see them cross that line for the negative side of it.